Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
This is SportsCenter.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, paid the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice.
AM 94.5 FM 1510.com. Both in studio. It's a little chilly today. What's up with this? It looks gorgeous outside. And then you step outside and you're like, damn, I need a coat. I need a jacket. What's up with that? We need the 70s back. It already, did we miss summer?
Nah, it's still fall weather, but we'll get 75 tomorrow, so I'm happy about that.
And I'm gone tomorrow. I'm going to be in Illinois. It's supposed to be 60 and rainy tomorrow, where I'm going to be. It's going to be...
Nobody told you to go.
Cousin's graduation.
Virtual.
I'm a supportive cousin.
You can be supportive by Zoom, too.
Nah, my grandparents are going to be there. I got to see my grandparents.
That's fair. Yeah, no. Before we get started, want to make sure we wish every mother out there a happy Mother's Day this upcoming weekend. I want to wish my auntie happy birthday today. But yes, it is Mother's Day weekend. I almost forgot about it. Thankfully, we kind of took our mom out to lunch today. We might do something again for her on Sunday. So for all the special ladies out there, happy Mother's Day to you.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day to my mom. Big shout out. It's fun. I'm excited for Mother's Day. I have a little surprise. The gift is going to be more fun. Because you know when you're a kid, obviously I haven't been for a kid for a while. But you know when you would give them a card and that was it? I want to give my mom something fun. Something that she'll use.
What I got to think about is about mothers. They don't really care as long as you just give, do something or give them something. Just let them know that you appreciate them. It's the spouses and stuff like that that may have kids. They're like, well, hold on now. I mean, you didn't give me that. Whoa, it's Mother's Day. I get something every damn day. Hold on, wait a second now. I don't need you trying to be extra now just because you think, they want something for Mother's Day and Father's Day and their birthday and Christmas. Like, yo, I'm going to need you to slow down.
Yeah. Mother's like, thank you for the card. I appreciate it. And Dad's like, where are my golf clubs?
Yeah,
where's my kegerator?
Right, exactly. So, yeah, a lot to get into today. Still, what you got on tap for us today?
Royals lost last night.
That's nothing new right now.
What's up? That's not new?
No, because they fell from first place to third place. So I don't even, I was telling, I think my brother was asking me about the Royals, what place they were in. I'm like, they're probably in third place. And lo and behold, they were. So 4-game losing streak could do that to you.
Dude, it's brutal. It's a brutal stretch the Royals are going through right now. It's not even fun. It's not fun.
It's not fun sitting on the Zoom calls either.
No, it's truly not. One thing I do want to talk to you about, and we didn't really plan this, but I wanted to talk to you about the Chiefs draft a little bit and see where your thoughts landed as far as immediate impact of some of these players. Because I know when we first did the draft, we went through a precursory guide of here's our draft grades, here's what we think they could be, but we didn't get into much of the immediate impact of these guys. For example, I think Creed Humphrey is going to start week one. I know there's some folks out there that think Austin Blythe is going to be.
Well.
I think that Austin Blythe was the plan, but I think that's already passed. I think Austin Blythe now is going to be your versatile inside piece. I don't think, like, for example, he's getting cut because the Chiefs are going to have to cut an offensive lineman. They're going to have to cut one or two or at least try and trade and get something for them.
Yeah, it's going to be whoever's third string. It's not going to be one of the people they just got through signing. I can't see that happening.
I concur, but I do think that Creed Humphrey is going to be the starter week one, and that's just where I think he's more talented than Austin Blythe.
Talent is one thing, but experience is another. I mean, it's still a different beast when you go from the NFL, from college to the NFL. I think you go with Austin right away because, again, you don't want to put that type of pressure on a rookie to protect him, Patrick Mahomes, like you plan on doing. Now, granted, you say you're just hiking the ball to him and probably just making sure nobody gets past him. He has not given up a sack the last year. I grant you that. However, you still want to go with the experience when you're dealing with a $500 million quarterback.
Sure, I'm with you. But when you know the future,
there's no but to that. So
there is, though. When the future's there, and I still think he's going to be just as good starting off as Austin. Like, I get that he doesn't have the experience, but the only way to gain experience is to get experience. You can't just sit on the bench and now you have experience.
You know, I can say that about Joshua Kando and some of these other players
as well. Well, I agree, but I don't think Joshua Kando is going to. You and I disagree heartily there.
Hold on. The only way he's going to get experience is by playing. Because defense, you get a chance to rotate, so he'll get a chance to get more playing time than I think Creed will before Creed starts. I'm not saying this guy Kando is going to be a starter this year. I'm not saying it. But I'm saying he is going to be in that rotation to get the experience that's going to be necessary. I mean, no sense in being a project sitting on the damn sideline for 2-3 years.
I don't think that they think Kando is going to be the future piece at end. I do think they think Creed Humphrey is going to be your future starter for a long time at center. And at that point, I think it makes sense to put him there. If he's ready, he's ready.
Well, I mean, okay. Ready is one thing. You just said he's going to be starting day one.
I still think he does. I think he does.
Nah. That's not – because now you're not going to do that with Austin. Because first of all, Austin Blythe has started every game since he's been in the NFL, so he's got more experience. He's got more NFL time, and he has more, you know, he has more experience than the guy that's coming in. That's not happening. The Chiefs aren't going to put Creed in that position. I believe in that position right off the bat. I just don't see it happening.
What is interesting is when you look back at this draft so far. I mean, again, it was what, a week ago now? Was it 2 weeks now? Dude, I am so bad with time.
It was last week.
Yeah, it just seems like it's drawn on so long.
No, but the interesting thing is that next weekend, Chiefs have their rookie mini camp. So.
If he shows up,
that's a good, you know, we'll see what he's able to do.
Even in this short period since the draft, when you look back on it just now, it looks, you may not have any day one starters. You may not have any immediate impact players as far as who's going to step in week one and, you know, play 70% of snaps or more. You have some special team guys. You have some guys who I think will start the year after this upcoming season. Like, I think Nick Bolton is going to start after this past season. Like, I think he starts not this year, but next year. I think Creed Humphrey, I think he starts this year. But just when you're going down this draft, I don't know how many immediate impact players this season they'll really be.
Generally, I would just think, just on GP, your second-round draft, well, they're both second-round draft picks, I guess. So I would think Bolden would have a better chance to start right off the bat because, again, I'm just looking at the athleticism and what you get from Steve Spagnuolo's defense. Again, and right now, if you look at the Chiefs lineup, they got Nick Bolden penciled in as a starter.
So I was just going to get to this. I think that by the loosest terms, he'll be a starter. He's not going to get starter snaps. The Chiefs go 4-2-5. They don't run their base defense.
Well, if Willie Gay King's still healthy, I can assure you he's going to be that regular starter.
there you go, but that's a big question because I think it's going to be Willie Gay and Anthony Hitchens are your two starting linebackers. You'll have Nick Bolton as the honorary starter, and he may fill in here and there, but I still don't think he's going to be getting 70%+ of the snaps. I think having him sit behind Anthony Hitchens and filling in on a need-to basis will be good for him because if he can take over that leadership role of getting guys in place, because that's what Hitchens does. Hitchens is a very good teacher for Bolton.
I'll be honest. I think that what would work, in Bolton's favor. You know, look, I'm with you on that. I think I think what's going to help his favor is that, unlike last year for Willie Gay, if he decides to attend rookie minicamp next weekend, the OTAs and, you know, there's no sit out or whatever, you know, if he attends the OTAs, stuff that's voluntary. Because I know that the Players Association, they're telling him that they don't have to attend. They're kind of leaning on him. Of course, the agents are doing a little pushback. You know, the players get a chance to get the free room on board. They get a chance to, learn the lay of the city. They also get a chance to let the coaches see him up close and personal. So even though he probably wouldn't get penalized for not going, I do think that he goes. But if you're someone like Nick Bolton, Creed Humphrey, as much as I support the union, and I do think that it's, and I had this conversation with DeMorris on the show a couple of weeks ago. I just think it's more important for the rookies to at least attend because, you know, they need all the experience. They need, you know, they just need that movement from college to the professional, see how things operate versus just waiting until it's mandatory mini camp or training camp to show up and try to learn on the fly. When then you find yourself behind the veterans who already know, you know, who already know the ropes. So, if he's able to get in, learn the concept and stuff, because again, he's got to learn. He's got to learn everything. Obviously, Creed Humphrey, he's going to have to learn all the quarterback stuff. He's going to have to learn all.
Sure, yeah.
So I'm saying so that they both have their areas where they have to learn pretty much on the fly. Again, if they both can do that, then perhaps they both can start. Again, I just think Austin Blythe is going to have a little bit more of leeway just because of experience. Now, again, I'm with you. I know Creed. I know Lucas Niang. I know even Trey Smith. That's the future for Kansas City. You know, obviously Thuney and Brown are going to be here for a minute. So Brown's going to be here, so he's not going.
Brown's
to
here for a while.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
No, he'll be here. Chiefs aren't going to just give up all the draft capital just to let him go after 1 year. But if you're, you know, but I believe Creed, Lucas Niang, as well as Trey, I think with that being at least on the right side, that's going to be, you know, where the Chiefs are going to grow at. Yes, I do agree that they should be able to get in early and perhaps start. But, again, right now you want to go, especially with the 17 games and with, you know, and not knowing how the schedule is going to flow until this week, you want at least as much experience as possible to start the season off in training camp as well. Now, if they show some stuff in training camp and they get promoted, hey, that's, you know, that's what competition will do for you.
Who do you think will be starting at the end position that's not Frank Clark? We know Frank Clark starting. The other spot right now, people have Tim Ward penciled in as a starter. Sure, he was okay. I just don't think the Chiefs are going to be comfortable with the rotation of Tim Ward, you know, Josh Ricando,
Mike Dana.
Is that who the Chiefs are going to go with? I mean, we know about, you know, Ingram and Justin Houston, and everyone wants the Chiefs to make a splash at end. But do you think this is what Kansas City is going to do, just throw in a rotation and say, hey, we're going to go with the hot hand?
It is possible. I was literally going to say maybe they do try to get Melvin. And I don't know, is Ingram a free agent? He is a free agent, right? Yeah, because someone mentioned, and I don't know if we talked about it yesterday, that perhaps he wants a long-term deal versus
the main reason why at least a lot of these players weren't signed, they have to wait till a certain date, and I think that date actually was Monday or Tuesday. Time goes crazy. And you have to wait past a certain date because if you don't, the other teams get a compensatory pick.
Compensatory.
Dude, thanks for the word.
That's
struggling.
I
was on the struggle bus right
there.
I know
this stuff.
And thank you.
You're welcome.
But yes, and so they had to give a pick for it, and no one wanted to give a pick. So that's why they waited to a certain date. So we should see more movement now.
Yes, yeah, so I would go for a veteran free agent. But, you know, Mike Dana, also, I mean, you know, he does have some experience, obviously, here in the system. I mean,
1 year and he was okay.
No. Well, I didn't say he was a superstar. I'm just saying he knows Steve Spagnuolo's system. But I don't think you have any drop off if you do decide to rotate, rotate along that left defensive end side. I'm gonna be honest, you know, perhaps you throw Taco in on the other side, opposite
sure.
of Frank. You know, I'm just hoping that we get a chance to see the best of Frank Clark this year.
Yeah. That, I mean, to be honest with you, that's the main issue. If you know what you're getting Frank Clark, if you knew that you're going to get 12-plus sacks, consistent pressure, still setting the edge, you would say, that's fine, because you know why? You still have him, Jaren Reed, you still have Chris Jones.
Yeah.
You wouldn't worry that much with their end spot, but because
problem with Frank Clark, though, man, he can't stay
healthy.
His
tummy issues, man.
Yeah, dude needs damn bubble guts, man. I mean, now look, I know what it's like to have bubble guts, but
sure.
Damn, this dude's stuff where he has to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
That's some serious bubblegut acid that he needs to get control of. So
I'm just saying, it's tough when you can't completely count on him, and
yeah.
It does make this other end spot a question mark when it could just be a, we're not strong here. Now it goes into an actual concern because you have to get pressure on the quarterback.
But I'll be honest, though. I mean, for me, if I was to be a backup player, and especially when you know someone can't stay on the field, you know, for one reason, like Frank Clark, I don't know. I guess as a competitor inside of me, that would make me want to, if I have an opportunity to step up and play, I want to make sure that Frank Clark doesn't get back out there on the field, because my play is going to be like, okay, Frank, we're paying you $20 million. You can't control, you know, your bubble guts. We're going to go with Taco. And I'm just using Taco as an example because he's his backup. But I think, you know, sometimes we, and look, even going back to the offensive side and we're looking at wide receivers, sometimes it's time for the backup. As Eric Bieniemy always says, we coach our backups to be starters. It's time for them to step up.
With the signing this week of Correa, the former outside linebacker from Tennessee, former second-round draft pick, never really lived up to the billing. Didn't get a great chance with Tennessee. He got into a little, I don't want to say spat, but he had an argument before with the Titans front office, and now he's on Kansas City. He obviously was a second-rounder for a reason, although we also know guys like Breland Speaks were second-rounders, and that didn't pan out. Do you think Correa could add anything to this Chiefs defense, or is this just a insurance policy at linebacker?
I think insurance policy at linebacker. I mean, Chiefs get him for the cheap. I mean, right now he's listed with a fourth string.
They haven't listed at middle linebacker. He's not middle. He's going to play outside. But
is the speed up to snuff? I mean, he's almost cussed. He only had 5 tackles last year, didn't he?
He didn't play last year. He played. He got into a little argument with the front office. It was a little bit of an ordeal.
If he is able to channel that anger and put it on the field, then I think he can contribute. But I'm not expecting a whole lot from him at all.
Yeah, I'm not either. I like to think he could bring something. I just don't know. He's 6'3", 241.
I mean, I don't want to see him in the parking lot.
On the Ravens, drafted by the Ravens, played with the Titans. Looks like he played with the Jags for a little bit in his career, too. I mean,
he's been bouncing around.
He's already been bouncing around a decent amount.
Yeah.
It's just a name that you know, or at least have heard about.
I haven't heard of him until this week, so I don't, you know.
He was always one of those guys where he would get signed and be like, but the potential. Always one of those potential guys.
I'm not going to lie. I'd rather see what Ken Doyle can do before I worry about Correa. That's just me.
So what do you think? So, because I've told you a little bit about my piece about Joshua Kando.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you so in on him?
One, he was one of the top high school players in the country.
That's years ago, my man.
Well, first of all, it's only 4 years. You're sitting there telling me that Austin Blythe, who's been a starter for 4 years in the NFL, should be now relegated to a backup role to a rookie coming in.
It's high school. It's high school.
As I was about to say, again, he was one of the top players in high school, goes to Florida State, and I just think he's had bad coaching, because when you go from Jimbo Fisher to Willie Taggart, in case you forgot how bad Florida State has been, Sterling, you know, that happens. And so he had a situation where he was like Baker Mayfield, going through coaches year in and year out. So when you're going through coaches, you're going through different position coaches as well. You're getting taught so many different things to where you're kind of like Baker Mayfield. You just want something simple. Well, I don't want to say something simple, but you want something consistent. Baker finally has it, and Kevin Stefanski, I think by coming to Kansas City, getting drafted by that, he'll get that. I believe that you can say by osmosis, but I think with the Chiefs coaching that he's going to get NFL coaching, but also playing alongside and being in the meeting rooms with Chris Jones, Jaren Reed, Frank Clark, I think it's going to rub off on him. And so while you might not be high on him because he doesn't meet whatever standards, I can assure you that, that this kid, when given the opportunity, is going to be a standout player for the Chiefs for years to come.
He's had one sack in his last 11 starts. He's played in 10 career starts through his entire college career. So I don't know how they got – so I guess 10 starts, 11 games total. I just don't all of a sudden see him staying healthy and then getting multiple sacks. Like, I just don't all
Has
of a sudden –
Has he had an injury history at Florida State?
Oh, yeah, long injury history.
Like what?
Let me see if I can pull up all of his injuries. He's 10 career starts and one sack in his last 11 games. Let me pull up his injury history.
Yeah. I mean, but still, I mean, again, we're talking about Florida State. When you go through that many coaches and players, I don't know, man. I can't, you know, I can't put it all on him. But I do think, again, by osmosis, you practice next to Chris Jones and Jaren Reed and Frank Clark every day. If they're pushing you, now granted, they might not think you're going to take their job, but if they push you to, you know, get the most out of your talent, and I know that the Chiefs are going to do that. I mean, look, we know what happens when you get players around other great players. Just like we talk about with these wide receivers. How can you not be better playing and catching passes from Patrick Mahomes?
He's had a season-ending ankle injury. Apparently, it was still bothering him throughout the season. It's just one of those things where if I'm going to draft – and again, he has wild potential. He has the potential of a higher ceiling than almost anyone else on Kansas City's 2021 draft. As far as if you're going to actual potential, if he reaches it, kind of like the Taco Charlton, kind of like the TK, when you're 6'6", 260, as a D-end, you have the length, the fluidity, the athleticism. It jumps off the charts, but you don't have the consistency. I just don't see what all of a sudden is going to be different from him than from the Breland Speaks, the TK, the Taco Charlton. I don't see what's different. It's basically just the developmental prospect, but add an injury history.
Environment, man. You have – I don't think you understand just
but
how –
But Taco
valuable.
And TK and Breland all play in the same environment. What's different with him? What's different between him?
Hold on. So you don't think Taco played much better in Kansas City than he did when he was in Dallas?
Stats don't say so. He had a couple of solid
injuries.
Sure, but that, I mean, what's my point is what's different? Wait, he has injuries too. What's different?
Coaching.
Same coaches. It's Kansas City.
Taco had different coaches in Dallas than he had here in Kansas City.
But he was here in Kansas City. We didn't see him get seven. We didn't see him get eight sacks, seven sacks, six sacks last year.
How many games did he start?
Well, he's not a start. He's gonna be a rotational piece.
Well, okay then. So, Sterling, you're having quote unquote starter expectations for rotation players, man.
I know. I want pressures. I don't care about sacks. I want pressures. I don't have
man,
starters expectations.
Like
Taco Charlton had a couple.
You sound
of
like
solid...
Spagnuolo when your defense isn't getting pressure on the quarterback because you're not getting sacks. 2 years ago, when they were getting sacks, that's what your defense was supposed to do. The following year, even though you made the Super Bowl, but the following year when you wasn't getting pressure, that ain't what the defense calls for. Now, if you're a defensive end, defensive tackle, whatever, your job is to get after the quarterback because that's where the money is. The money is, you know, Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's a defensive tackle, whatever. He gets 20 sacks. He also gets defensive player of the year. He also gets $20 million a year. That's where the money's at. So just saying you want pressure, but you don't care about sacks, that don't have any credibility.
Pressures come first. Pressures come first. Sacks will follow. Pressures is something that you consistently.
I mean, if you get a sack, by the very definition, you're getting pressure on a quarterback.
Not to the same extent. You could be the one finishing up. The defensive end for New Orleans last year, that white dude with a lot of that long hair, you know, that he was a stud last year. Everyone's like, oh, he's so great. He was basically just filling up the stat sheet with sacks. While he wasn't the one getting the pressure, he just was the one that wrapped up. That also has a job. That's also important. Chris Jones last year was better than his numbers indicate. He got a lot more pressure than he did sacks. Other people need to do their job and wrap up. Taco Charlton had only two sacks in seven games. He has Kansas City coaching. He played with Chris Jones. He played with Frank Clark.
And what did he do the year before in Dallas?
Five sacks in 10 games.
How many starts?
Five. So he had more starts. He had more playing time in Dallas.
There you go.
My point is, what is different between Taco and Breland Speaks and TK and Joshua Kando? Why do you think Kando is going to all of a sudden come out here and get – are you happy with two sacks?
Hold on. I'm not saying he's going to come in and start.
I'm not saying start. I'm saying you're saying he's going to perform these guys.
Well,
not perform,
no. What I said is he is going to get a chance to contribute to the team. He is going to get – because the Chiefs do this. They do this with their rookie players, especially on the defense side of the ball. They get them in rotation. As long as they're healthy, they get them in rotation to, you know, saying to get in, to get a flow of the game. Now, again, last year they didn't have any preseason games, and Willie Gatting ended up getting hurt, I think, as the season started. So, he didn't get a chance to really show much until later on in the season.
They also just didn't play him. That was a whole other situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Spag doesn't like playing rookies. That's his whole thing.
Juan Thornhill was an exception.
Yeah, Juan Thornhill was the exception.
And like I said, that's why you don't hear me saying Josh was going to start. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that Steve is going to throw a lot at these rookies to see what they can keep, maintain, and how they practice. Again, you got training camp, rookie mini camp. We'll see what he's able to do there. I'm just saying that if he makes the squad, he is going to play in NFL games.
Sure,
because
he'll get a couple snaps.
I think it'd be more. I think more than a couple. But what I'm saying is because you know, you're always trying to keep your defensive line fresh. And so I'm saying, so he'll get a chance to come in and we'll see what he's able to do. I'm not saying he's going to be a Creed Humphreys or he's going to start or anything like that. But I'm saying I think he can contribute, and Steve will be able. I think he'll be able to get the most out of him because of the players that he's going to be surrounded with.
My whole thing is I just don't see the difference between him, TK. I still – part of me is because I wanted TK to still be in Kansas City. I think if you're
Let that go.
Because the reason why is if you're going to draft developmental prospects, there's no denying Kando's a developmental prospect.
It's a draft. I mean, a lot of the players are going to be developmental regardless.
But he is the definition of, former high school standout, Taco Charlton, another, former first-round draft pick that never panned out. Like, these are developmental draft picks, but you have to wait for them. You do have to wait, and I'll give you that. But you waited a couple years with TK. This should be the year that TK breaks out. This upcoming season should have been the make or break year, and you let him walk to bring in another guy who you have to develop. We're just looking at that side. I guess I'm just not super comfortable going in with Tim Ward, Mike Dana, a fifth round draft pick who didn't show a lot, was okay, and then a fourth round with injury concerns. I guess my thing is I wish Kansas City would have addressed this need more than going in with all of these concerns.
Well, they can still address those needs before training camp and even during before the season starts. Again, even if they brought in Melvin Ingram, I think they still would have gone this route, bringing in Joshua in, which is fine.
And I would actually be more happy. And if that's the case, then you know what? I will change my tune and say that's fine because I do like the upside that Kando brings. I get that. My thing is I would have gone with maybe a more sure thing if this is my current rotation.
Right, but what I'm saying, and listen to what you just said, yes, you finally agreed that he has upside.
Oh, I've always said he has.
Right.
Yeah, so, he has crazy upside.
And again, I'm not looking at him being on this starting line with Jones, Reed, and Clark. I'm just saying that I'm saying the reason why I'm high on him because I know what his upside can be based off of just talent alone. I know what his upside can be, and I'm just saying when you mix that with the Jones, Reed, and the Clark, and, just in rotation, practice, and learning from them, it's hard not to be better than what you were when you were in college and stuff. And to that point, like I said, if they get Melvin Ingram, I mean, look, Melvin Ingram is, he's not going to be one of those type of players that's not going to help this kid out, because he knows he can't play forever. So that's all I'm saying is that I believe that being in those meeting rooms, working out with these players, I think that now I haven't met the kid, I haven't talked to him, but if he is who I hope he is, he will try to learn the game both mentally and physically from these, from his teammates, so he can be better prepared throughout this, throughout his rookie season.
I just want to be proved wrong. I will wait and see and wait to be proved wrong because I still just don't see the difference between him, TK, Breland Speaks, and Taco Charlton. Until I'm
proved
wrong.
But you believe wrong in Noah Gray?
I think that we'll take a break and we'll come back and talk Noah Gray because I think we have We'll come back and
keep you consistent because it seemed like it seemed like Creed Humphrey and
Nick
Noah Gray. You know, you got to look because Bolden, you said will have to start maybe next year.
Well, after Hitchens.
I'm just saying like you know. You kind of saying certain players can start right away and contribute right away, like these other cats ain't gonna be able to do it, man.
Noah Gray's a different story. We'll get to because I have some fun thoughts about Noah Gray.
Okay,
this is Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City.
Shall we?
Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. We were talking Chiefs draft. All right, we'll do it now. The Noah Gray talk. I am not as high on Noah Gray as some folks. I don't think he is going to all of a sudden magically take reps away from Travis Kelce to it. In the extension way that people think. You and I both agree, we want Kansas City to bring in a tight end to extend Travis Kelce's career, give him some snaps off. I just don't see, based on the past usage of tight end twos in this system, we all thought, or at least I thought, Ricky Seals-Jones was going to be that guy last year. Ricky Seals-Jones fits that mold to a T. Couldn't even get on the active roster. I mean, he couldn't even sniff it. I think Noah Gray is a draft pick, so I think I don't want to say be forced, but I think they'll be more apt to at least having him active. I think he is a better pass catcher than Blake Bell or whoever else you're going to have there,
I
Nick
think he's
Kizer.
A really good pass catcher.
But his lack of blocking, his good hands but not necessarily explosive nature might have to tamper some expectations. That's all I'm saying.
I think he has pretty good hands for
great hands.
I think if given the opportunity, like I said, if Kelce somehow's doubled, I think he can make the catch. I think, and he's not afraid of contact, so he's not afraid to go up. I think be it his size, being 6'4", 230-ish or whatever.
I think it was 6'3", 240.
Yeah. Okay. Either way, 6'3", 6'4". I believe he has the height, and he can get up. I mean, he can jump. I think he can get the ball at his highest point, bring it down, and is not afraid to drop his shoulder to get the first down marker. So I don't believe that there would be drop-off if Travis has to come out for a play, if he get dinged or whatever. I don't think that you're going to see much drop off with Noah Gray in there. I think he has good speed. He can also line up as a receiver if necessary. Now, I'm not saying he's going to run with Tyreek or any of them, but I think he can still line up and make plays. And, you know, the quarterback that he had while he was at Duke, I mean, obviously it's not a Patrick, but, man, I swear, if you cannot, as a receiver or running back, if your game cannot go to the next level playing with Patrick Mahomes, that's a you problem.
Sure. I'm with you. And I really want, and I like the fact that Kansas City is trying here. They're trying to get another pass catcher at tight end because I do think they need to do something to take some load off of Travis.
Well, see, but to be quite honest, that's more of a Patrick issue because Patrick becomes so dependent and reliant on Tyreek and Kelce because he's been able to depend on them and rely on them all this time. Now, I don't know if the Super Bowl did anything about that, because they were both dropping catches that they should have made. But he's relied on them so much that they've always come through that even if you bring someone else in, unless you already got that cachet, you've got to earn, Patrick Church, which, again, rookie minicamp, he might show up, but OTAs, minicamp, training camp, let's see what you're able to do with Patrick. And look, Patrick's the type of person, you know, if you're Noah Gray, if you're the other wide receiver that they, Cornell Powell, if you ask Patrick, can you stay after and work with him? I think Patrick is just that dude that would be willing to do that to, you know, to help you become better.
I'm with you. I think part of me is just because Kansas City, they are relying on Travis Kelce. I think that's why we didn't see Ricky Seals-Jones, and that's why they were so adamant on having Blake Bell basically be the tight end too, because Andy Reid, in this system, they don't use two tight ends unless the second tight end is blocking. That's how he uses it. And since Noah Gray is not great blocking based on some factors, it's going to be difficult for him to see the field.
But here's the thing. If I'm Andy Reid, Andy Reid is going to have to get better than that, because all it is, it's a sign, it's a tell. It's a tell that if he comes in, then you're going to be passing the ball. If he's not or whatever, you're going to be running.
It's worked, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's worked, but I'm saying, but you don't want it to be that obvious. So that's why if you're Noah Gray, you need to be able to learn how to block. Obviously, look, we know you can catch, but if you can block, then that makes the defense a little bit more dangerous because now, it makes the offense more dangerous because now, even when you come in, they don't know whether or not the team is going to pass or run when you come into the ball game. That's what you don't want to have happen. You don't want Noah comes in, okay, well, we know that they're going to pass the ball because he can't run block. So I'm saying that's what you want to be able to do. You want to make sure that that you learn how to run block as well.
No, I'm with you. I just think that he is maybe at least a year away from making a impact at tight end. Like I just think he's like, I feel like this year.
Yeah, no, he's not needed to make an impact, but he is, again, as I said, when Kelce goes to sign and he comes in, if his number's called, he needs to be able to make the play and extend the chance.
100%, because when Demetrius Harris has been the best tight end too, yeah, and everyone in Kansas City basically wanted Harris out for dropping passes, and now people want him back, that's it's been a rough area back there. So I think Noah Gray, tamper expectations at least this year. Let him grow and develop. Once he gets better at blocking, I think he'll be a lot more useful. So let him develop. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Do you have any strong thoughts on Powell?
Well, I mean, he caught passes from Trevor Lawrence last year, so he's used to a quarterback with a big arm. I think he'll probably have the easiest transition from college to the NFL. I mean, well, Creed, I mean, all you really do is snapping a ball.
He's snapping the ball.
Yeah, so let me kind of rephrase that. But I believe that Powell will have, the best chance. Look, if Mecole Hardman don't step up, because if I'm correct, hell, they were former teammates. Because he was
at Georgia.
Oh yeah, Georgia. Okay, yeah. Thank
They're
you.
The same, man. Yeah. I mean, look, all those five schools. If you're a receiver, you can just throw them in.
Yeah,
you're good.
But so I believe that if McCole doesn't learn his route tree and stuff, I think Cornell Powell will get a chance to come in, and I think as Eric Bieniemy says, he can compete to be a starter in the NFL. One, I think it's a nice pickup. I think he can play. I think he has good hands. He can get good separation from the defender. He doesn't seem fast, but he does run a 4.4. Look, on film, his speed is kind of deceptive.
Yeah.
But he's got good speed. It's not blazing, but it's definitely good enough. He has a good feel for the football in the air and near the end zone. He knows how to position his body, whether or not it's to the sideline to where, Patrick can throw it and keep the ball away from the defender. He is a physical receiver. He's not afraid of the big stage. Again, playing with Trevor Lawrence, not going to Patrick Mahomes, he's not going to be gun shy, or he's not going to be shy about catching passes from Patrick. And he's also not afraid of contact. So, he'll catch the ball and do whatever it takes to get the extra yardage.
Yeah, and that's kind of what his evaluations have said. The evaluators have basically said very average speed, but he does have the ability to go bring balls in. You get it at the top of his route.
But you're also talking about very average speed compared to a Tyreek and McCole.
Compared to Tyreek.
That's, everybody's going to be average.
He, looking at some more of his tape and everything, I think I'm almost higher on him now than when he was originally drafted. Mm-hmm. Because I do think sometimes, I know you almost sometimes, I feel like, and it's just different ways of viewing this, when you have elite quarterbacks, sometimes you almost give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, he's had a great guy thrown to him. Sometimes it's almost easier in college when you have great guys thrown to you because a lot of guys don't have great guys thrown to them, so they have to make more difficult catches. They have to learn to adapt.
Yeah.
What he has done being in the Clemson system, though, is run crisp routes.
Yeah.
And that's something that's it's very difficult to teach because Mecole Hardman has struggled with that, running crisp routes. That's one thing that I think if Mecole Hardman improves on, that's where we'll see the biggest jump. Because the second Hardman starts running, you know,
precise routes,
you're going to say, okay, wow. I think that's when Hardman's going to take the next step.
No.
I think Powell's already almost at that good route running step.
Well, I put it like that. Well, again, I think Powell is there because kind of like the Clemson and Georgia to a lesser extent, but you know you got that Clemson, you got the Alabama thing going to and Ohio State thing going to where, and to Oklahoma to extent that you got a lot of NFL type playbook that you're putting in with this offense that's transitioning those players and getting prepared for the NFL. I think you know I think the talent that's going through Clemson, the talent that's going through Alabama. I mean, you know, we look at, you know, we know Tua Tagovailoa in college and even Mac Jones and Joe Burrows. You know, I mean, they were excellent, you know, their last years and Tua for a couple of years. But you also look at who they were throwing to, which makes them even better. And that's where you got to have a little give and take. Like, we know Trevor Lawrence is that guy, but Trevor Lawrence also had some guys.
He's had some help.
Yeah, I mean, he had some first-round draft pick on the line. He had some first-round draft pick in the backfield, first-round draft pick that he's throwing to. So all of that plays a collective part and a collective role in an individual player's success like a Trevor Lawrence. Now, Deshaun Watson, he had great talent, but Deshaun Watson was that dude, too. He also elevated everybody's play as well. That's what I expect from Patrick this year, to elevate these players' play. I just believe that Cornell Powell, you know, he knows what it takes to win. He may not have been the starting wide receiver on that championship team, but he contributed, you know, and obviously in the run, you know, the last 2 years with the team, you know, he's contributed as well. So, again, I think he has a different mentality because he's won a national title versus Mecole. I just think the coaching tree that he got from Clemson is going to be different than what Mecole got from Georgia. Where if you're playing for Nick Saban, if you're playing from Dabo Sweeney, they're trying to prepare you and get you coached up for that next level, and I think that's going to help him out with his transition here to Kansas City.
Do you think there's any chance of him being the number two wide, maybe not this year, because that's a big ask for a wide receiver drafted in the fifth round, but do you think even
next year? I mean, you're paying DeMarcus $1 million, so they really ain't hard.
Could he become the number two? I mean, that would be jumping, because right now he's probably behind Byron, behind Mecole, behind D-Rob.
He's
Tyrese.
Behind Mecole on a depth chart, I believe. So he's second string right now.
So I would be interested to see where he ends up by the time this season's over, because I think that's when we'll see.
Oh, yeah.
If he can jump those guys, it'd be nice.
Here's the thing. I don't even think you really have to jump them. You just – because now people are going to think we're going to talk about this ad nauseum, because it really is a serious thing, but – when you look at the fact that it's going to be 17 games, players are going to be complaining. You know, we're going to be hearing about this throughout the year. 17 games, this and that. Oh, the body and you know, players stepping up. Again, to me, I just look at it as you're just playing one less preseason game, and now instead of playing one less preseason game, you got extra games. So that means just, you know, get your panties out your bunch, line up, let's go play football. I think that, one, if he jumps up to a number two, that says a lot about either Mecole or DeMarcus. That's a problem. That's the problem,
sure,
right there. So if he jumps to number two, great for him, not great for the rest of the team, because what are you getting from these other players? But if he can, you know, if he can just get in that rotation and contribute, I don't want to put too much quote unquote pressure on these players, because they really should be asked to. They had a type of pressure on them. We just want them to contribute and not fall on their face.
What's very nice is they aren't expected to be, or they don't have to be, superstars year one. What's very nice is Nick Bolton has Anthony Hitchens. Creed Humphrey has Austin Blythe. Noah Gray has Travis Kelce.
Well, that's what I was saying about Jordan time. He's got those players.
But this is what's nice about the Chiefs organization, and that's kind of what this entire thing got started by, this conversation, was the Kansas City Chiefs have so much depth this draft. No one is going to come in and be probably a week day one starter. Again, I think Creed Humphrey will be, but again, he doesn't need to be, and that's what makes it so impressive of how good Kansas City has been, building the depth out.
Yeah, and the other thing that I do like that we haven't talked about is that you got to remember, this has happened, this has been this way, hell, I know since Patrick has been there, but these players actually like each other. And so if the rookies can come in and ingratiate themselves, with the veterans, I mean, I think it can only help them, man. I mean, you really haven't seen players get in trouble outside of Kareem Hunt. And, I mean, and obviously when that happened, you know, everybody was really, you know, really shaping themselves up. And, you know, we had the quasi issue with Tyreek, but that played itself out. But other than that, I mean, you really don't hear about players in Kansas City getting in any trouble or anything like that, because they're so close-knit that they rely and depend on each other, where they're watching everyone's back because they know that it's Super Bowl or bust, and they know the only way to do is that everybody has to buy in and play a role in the team's success.
100% with you. They have bigger goals than going out and causing trouble. They have bigger goals. And I think,
it,
for example, if the Chiefs were maybe the Jets or something like that, Kareem Hunt may still be in the team, but because the Chiefs knew that it was championship or bust, they go, we can't have any of these concerns.
Man, I ain't gonna lie though, man.
Do you think that may have played a factor of saying, hey, we can't have any of these issues. We have to have one goal in mind and no distractions.
I ain't gonna lie. I'd have made an exception for Kareem Hunt. That's just me. I know he field goal kicked the girl or whatever you call it, and you know the video he lied about it. That dude was special, man. I just think had he been on the team playing against the Patriots, I think the Chiefs still win that. I think the Chiefs win that game, and I honestly think that they would be three times. I think with him on the team, they win the Super Bowl all 3 years. I just think he was that special of an individual player.
He ain't worth 24 points, 21 points
against who? You talking about against
Tampa?
Well, obviously, if we're talking about him playing in this game without the tackles, then yeah, you know. But I still think they make three Super Bowl runs and they win two out of three.
But I think just the overlying factor is that the Kansas City Chiefs realize they have bigger goals, and I think that's what makes them so tight knit, like you said, and that's what we don't hear. I mean, the Giants, Jets, I mean, Raiders, Cowboys, you always hear the off-the-field issues, Bengals for a long time, and guess what? Those were non-playoff teams. When you have bigger goals, you want to strive and attain those bigger goals, and Kansas City, I think, has a very good mindset and game plan. Well, Darren, quick break. Come back. We can talk NFL. We can talk NBA. We can talk whatever you want. I'll let you have it. This is Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to Darren and Sterling.
Just keep that underneath the Sterling.
Right here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com.
Let that song play us out.
Well, wham.
Yeah.
George Michael.
Don't wake me up before we go.
I used to have a George.
The fact that I know this song is really scary.
It's impressive. What, dude? It's Wham and George Michael. It was what, like the 90s?
Wake me up before you go.
I used to have a George Michael shirt. I used to wear. It was awesome.
I mean, and the dance. Was,
yeah, it's okay. Just the dance. Guys the, just, the outfits.
It's so damn corny.
Oh, it's so corny.
The leather jacket.
The music video is hilarious. It's impressive.
Yes.
I saw this on the NBA, and I wanted to bring it because it's funny, because you'll appreciate it. The Knicks have been covering the spread at a historic rate, and I just wanted to say thank you to the New York Knicks because they have helped me out all season long.
Yeah, you know, I had the Knicks last night. You know, it's just the other teams in that parlay you just get. Look, man, I can't bet just one game $1 and just hope to get $2.
That's what I do.
That's not me, because that to me, I just feel like I'm paying commission and I'm not getting a whole lot from it, man. I'd rather just take a chance. Look, man, I don't know. I guess because I trade, you know, I know what it's like to make big money just like that. It's like, man, I need some action tonight.
Smith.
No, I got a new nickname I didn't even know about till yesterday. They call me OBD. Opening Bell Darren.
No, it's like OBJ's because you love Odell Beckham Jr. so much.
No, they call me Opening Bell Darren because I get up right before the bell opens and to place my trades, get in, get out, make my money, get in, get out. This morning, I don't know. One time I didn't load up on contracts where I could have got $30,000. I was stuck only getting $1,400. But, you know, could have been worse. Could have blown the account.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it's because Odell Beckham Jr. is your favorite player.
Dude, you could have let that last song play us out.
It ended. I don't get to control how long it plays, Darren.
I didn't know.
It actually was perfect.
More than 2 minutes.
It's sent to the 1 minute. I know it's like a 4 minute song, but the system, I can't control the system back here.
Oh, okay. Maybe
Darren.
Still have to pay residuals. That's cool.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not paying out of pocket. With your little OBD you can pay for it. There we go.
No, I'm not. Look, before we get out of here again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, all the ladies out there. Make sure you tune in Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. I'll be on Sports Radio 810 WHB with The Ship with Darren Smith from 9 to 11, and then we'll see what happens after that.
Thank you guys for listening. This was Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. Thank you. Heading to Decatur, Illinois. Gonna do it. Until Monday, we are out of here.